I don't know whose headphones this is, but I need to hear something. Amen. There's a song that says, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Oh, I've learned to trust in God. Upon his word. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. So oh, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, would you stand to your feet, everybody in this building? Give the Lord one more praise offering. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. I believe there are people that walked into this place today that have carried a little bit too much weight on your shoulders. You've walked in here today, and I really feel the Holy Ghost that God is going to release some people of loads that you walked in here with. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There are people that walked into this building, and I could almost come out and put my hand on you right now, that you have walked in here, and it feels like a load is about to break you. But I will tell you that God knows exactly who you are. He knows where you're at, and God has not forgotten you. The book of Exodus, chapter number 1, verse number 10. And I don't know how far I will get into this message, but we're going to give it a whirl. I'm just going to preach. If you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God has come today to give you the baptism of His Spirit. Today is the day of salvation. There's no greater day. than today to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The book of Exodus chapter number 1, verse number 10. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. So get them up out of the land. In other words, get them out of here. Exodus chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Verse number 24, God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. Now, I'll be honest with you, when I felt like the Lord gave me this message, I began to preach, and I've had a lot of people say, well, other people have preached the title. That's fine. We sing the same songs in church a lot. And smile, please, if you'll help me out. But I want to preach to you today on the subject, the king always has another move. The king always has another move. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands to heaven right now? Would you do that? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God touch each and every one of us. Let the power of the Holy Ghost move upon us. Hallelujah. God, we thank you. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. How do we describe a God who is invisible, immutable, everlasting, eternal, all-wise, all-knowing God, when really all we have to describe him is metaphors and similes, weak comparisons? Because God said, my ways are high above your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. It is impossible to describe him or even comprehend the God of the universe who said, let there be light, and there was light. Who stepped out on the balcony of time and said, let there be light. There is no way to describe God or who he is. But it is interesting enough that a God as great as we serve is interested in everything about us, including the hair on our head. The Bible says he does not even see he sees every sparrow that falls. He knows every aspect of our life here today. And I am going to declare to you that God is able to pull you out of your situation. Only God knows how to get out of you what he put inside of you. There is so much potential in this room that will turn our world upside down several times over if God will get out of us what he put inside of us. Everybody shake your head every once in a while if you don't mind with me. But God has put dreams and visions inside of individuals in this building, and God can bring them to fruition. He will deliver you out of your situation. Somebody say hallelujah. God is able to do this. I have to declare to you today that Satan is a fraud. He is not a creator. He's simply an imitator. Now, I feel the weight of this message here this morning, so if you'll just help me a little bit, I would really appreciate it. But he is a fake, he's a fraud, he's a phony, and the more you grow in God, the more the devil is going to attack everything about you, every aspect of your life. He is going to try his best to divert your attention. I used to say, new levels, new devils. And I had a man of God come up to me, and he said, Brother Marshall, you got to quit saying that. He said, you need to say new levels, new angels. Well, yeah, new angels, but they're still new devils. I don't know about y'all, but every time it feels like you want to do something else for God, or you want to grow in God, or you want to go to a new place in God, there is going to be something that will hit you absolutely square in the middle of your face, and it almost feels like you cannot get your balance. But I'm here to tell you again that God is good at getting people out of trouble. If you don't believe me, just ask blind Bartimaeus. He's beside the roadside, and the Bible says, and as Jesus was going by again, obviously the Lord had already passed him one time, but this time Bartimaeus said, I am not going to let my miracle pass me by, because I'm going to get it, whatever I've got to do. And the Bible says, and he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David. He got up, took off his coat, he threw down his can. He said, I am not going to be known as a beggar any longer. I am going to get my miracle today. The king always has another move. The 10 lepers
the Lord touches them, and only one comes back, and he said, "You have been made whole." He said, "There's something complete about you." Go ask the demon possessed where the Lord touched him, and the Lord helped him out. I'm telling you, God is good at getting people out of trouble. All you've got to do is wait on him. The old song says, "He may not come when you want him to, but he will come right on time." It's not about what you feel or how you're going, but it's about God. I want you to show up right when you want to show up. I know I'm a little excited this morning, but I want somebody to know that God is going to do what he said he would do. Hallelujah. I don't know why my schedule has done what it has. I have no idea, but I do know that God has brought us here today to see somebody renewed in the Holy Ghost, to see somebody filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and God to turn somebody's life around and get out of you what he has put inside of you. This is the day of salvation. This is the day that he is going to make you whole. This is the day he's going to renew you. I declare that. I decree it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a strategy with God. The book of Exodus, I just read to you a few moments ago, Exodus chapter 1. He said, "Let us deal wisely with them, and that they, when they multiply, that something they rise up against us." And the Bible says what is so interesting, Exodus 2:24, "And God heard their groaning." Now, again, I sang a few old school songs here this morning real quickly, but there's something about the groanings of the Spirit. There is something about when we begin to pray and God hears our groaning. The Bible says, "And God heard their groaning." You know, I remember the old days when we used to say, "Let's just pray through." Come on, you got to pray through, pray through. Ladies and gentlemen, now it's pray to a situation. It's praying to a certain point. But there is nothing that will beat whenever we pray through it. That sometimes we'll be doubled over. Sometimes we'll be holding our stomachs, and we'll, from the very depths of our being, we begin to groan in the Spirit. I'm telling you, God always has another move. It does not matter what's going on in your life right now. There is a God that knows who you are, that God knows where you're at, and God is able to deliver you. God is able to turn it around. I'm not worried about cancer. I'm not worried about disease, because he has all power on heaven, in heaven and in earth. God is in control of all of it. Hallelujah. And God set into motion a strategy, a plan to free the children of Israel. Again, remember, God knows how to get out of you what he put inside of you. He did not, the children of Israel were not destined to just be slaves somewhere. They were destined to be owners, inhabitors. And they were the ones that were supposed to be known to be overcomers. And they were the ones that were they conquered, not being conquered. Am I making sense at all here this morning? But listen, God said, "I'm going to get out of you what I have put inside of you." So in the book of Exodus chapter 4, Moses throws his rod down and it turns into a serpent. The Lord's trying to get something across to him, and he said, "I want you to put your hand in your coat." And when he pulls it back out, it's full of leprosy. And in chapter 8, again, God has a strategy. Frogs come into Egypt. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Lice comes and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. The flies swarm and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. The cattle of the Egyptians died, but not one of the Israelites. And the plague comes, the boils and the blisters, the hail, the locusts, the darkness, and finally, the firstborn. God will do whatever he's got to have his way and to get out of you what he... I know I'm not... I'm saying it over again. I'm not trying to be redundant, but God will get out of you what he put inside of you. He'll take you to wherever he wants to take you, because God is a God that knows everything that's inside of us. You see, God always has another move. The king always has another move. Sometimes it seems like, well, I'm just, my back is against the wall. I don't know where to turn to. There's people in this building today that have made that statement this week. I don't know where to turn to. I don't know what to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. But let me tell you, for every struggle in your life, there is a strategy. Somebody help me here today. Struggles have never caught God by surprise. You have not caught God on a bad day. I'm here to tell you, what you got to be is radical. Naaman, would you go wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times? I'm not interested in the Jordan. That's the dirtiest water around. It's not up to you to question how God does it. It's just up to do what God said to do. He said, go wash yourself 7 times. Time number 1, 2, 3, all the way through 6. Nothing has happened. But he said, I said to do it 7 times. And on the 7th time, Naaman came up out of the water completely cleaned. God had healed him. God had turned it around. But you've got to be radical. Do not sit in that pew and tell me, I can just be the same old. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot be the same person you've always been. You've got to be radical if God is going to get something out of your life. Come on, clap your hands to Jesus. Hallelujah. Joshua, don't worry about the chariots that are going around the wall, that are on the top of the wall. Do not worry about the chariots that are looking at you. Don't worry about the arrows that are pointed your direction. Don't worry about the spears that are held back in a position to throw them at you. Don't worry about them. Just keep marching 7 times. Every day you make a lap around the city. On the 7th day, I want you to make 7 laps. And on the 7th lap, I want you to begin to cry, shout out, break the pitchers, do everything that I've commanded you to do. And we know the rest of the story, because God always has another move. I've come to tell somebody in this place today, don't worry about the weapons the enemy has against you. There is no weapon formed against you can prosper, but every weapon, everything is... Somebody hear me today. God is in control. God knows where you're at. God is going to take care of it. Don't worry about the enemy that's looking at you. Don't worry about the words that are being said. Don't worry about the adversity, because God is going to do what he said he would do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Samson, I don't know why this is so deep in my spirit, Pastor, but this thing is so deep in my spirit. I just hope I can get out here. What's up here? But Samson, you're going to kill a bunch of Philistines. Cool. What kind of gun you're going to give me? I'm not going to give you a gun, but I want you to see that jawbone over there. Would you pick up that jawbone? What am I going to do with this? I want you to just start doing what you know how to do. I'm going to step down here for a few minutes. Samson, just pick up that jawbone and do what you know how to do. I've come to tell somebody in this building that when you don't know anything else to do, when you don't know what else to do, just do what you know how to do, and that's praise him. Just do what you know how to do. That's praise him in the middle of your problem. Praise him in the middle of your situation. Worship him while everything else is going around you is crazy. Just keep praising him. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I've totally missed it today. I really don't think I have, because it's way too deep in my spirit. You just got to keep worshiping him. The book of Judges, chapter 20, 21. I'm not up there. Samson is going down to find a wife in Timnath. He was going down to find a wife, and the Bible says a lion came out, came out after him to kill him. The Bible says, and Samson ripped that lion to pieces with his bare hands. As a pretty big boy, as a pretty strong man. But the Bible says, and he ripped him. Two verses later, he's coming back to go home. He's weary, he's faint. He said, I'm about to die. I'm hungry. I get that way occasionally. Steamboat Bill's just was calling my name as I drove into town last night. Whew, didn't y'all feel the Holy Ghost move through? Something moved through here. We went down and we ate at Timnath. I'm sorry. But as he's going back home, he said, I'm tired, I'm weary. And the Lord said, see that lion over there? He said, reach your hand in the jaw of that lion. First of all, now, scholars tell us it was the same exact lion that he had killed 2 days earlier. First of all, because it was a carcass. He wasn't even supposed to touch it because it was not clean. But God said, I'm not worried about this. I'm worried about you doing what I tell you to do. Are you following what I'm saying? What Samson thought was sent to kill him later fed him. Some of you under the sound of my voice, there's several people in this place today. You need to hear exactly what I'm preaching. I feel it strongly in the Holy Ghost. There's some of you think that, man, I'm about to die under the weight of this problem. No, you're not going to die. It's not going to kill you. This situation you're going through right now, it's going to feed you at some point. Because you're going to be able to look back up on it and say, God, I remember what you did. When I was here in December, did I talk about my wife's situation? My wife, 3 years ago, the doctors diagnosed her with breast cancer. Did I mention that? I may have hit it very briefly, but I'm going to give you a little bit more detail. Normally, I would have her come up and tell the story, but for sake of time, we were getting ready to go to the Philippines, and she said, I hadn't seen a doctor in 6 years. And so I said, we were in Houston. And she said, look, just find somebody, one of the churches that we go to, go ask them to direct you to a doctor. So she found a doctor and she went to see her and I forget her name. And the doctor said, you've never had a mammogram. I'm going to send you down. So she went immediately from this office down to the bottom floor where they did the mammograms and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you a very long story very shortly because it was over a week of about a three-week period. And so they called her a couple of days later. They said, we need you to come back in for some more pictures. They took 120 pictures or a whole lot of pictures anyway. And they sent them back off. And a few days later, my wife called them and said, do you have any results? And actually, we went by there. We were taking my wife to the airport. Her dad was having kidney failure, and his health was not well. And so she was flying to Indiana to be with him, and I stayed in Houston. We stopped by the doctor's office on the way to the airport, and they said that we sent it off to MD Anderson. She said, well, is that normal? They said, no, that's not normal. And so that was on like Tuesday, Wednesday. And my wife gets a phone call or calls the doctor's office on Friday. She said, I didn't want to wait through the weekend. You know, doctors, they kind of do it at their own schedule. And bless their hearts. Who was it that said you can say whatever you want to say as long as you say bless their heart? And so she called the doctor's office and the nurse answered the phone. She said, hold on for just a moment. The doctor answers the phone. He said, Miss Marshall, he said, we found something. It's cancer. He said, I need you back in here Monday morning. She's in Indiana. She's in Indiana. And the doctor said, I need you back here Monday morning. We've got to operate immediately. So the whirlwind began. We got back. And before she had gone in for her MRI that night before we went to sleep, this was about a week before we got the doctor's call. I took her hair and I placed it across her. And I said, now don't walk away thinking Brother Marshall thinks holy hair and all magic hair. No, I believe that whenever you're in desperate, when you are desperate enough, you'll pray whatever you've got to pray. When you're desperate, you'll pray whatever you got to pray. And I said, God, this is my wife. I began to pray and I said, Lord, I'm asking you to touch her. I was driving here to Mississippi from Houston. I'm driving down the road and I'm crying, tears streaming down my face. And I said, God, this is my wife. You gave her to me as to help me. And she tries to keep me looking nice and all these other things. And I said, God, I cannot do this without her. And I'm sobbing, driving down the road. I'm almost in Beaumont. And the Lord speaks to me. If I have ever had the Lord speak to me, he spoke to me that day. And the Lord said, everything is okay. I've got it all under control. My spirit rested. I'm going to tell you a lesson. Now, I have no idea what God is going to do. I know he's going to do something great all across this building. But if you don't hear anything else I say today, please hear this next statement. It does not matter what you're going through. There has to be a place where your spirit is at peace. Be anxious for nothing, the Bible says. Oh, it's hard when they have just told you, the doctor says you've got cancer. It's not real easy, but there was something about my spirit. My spirit said, everything is all right. Now, listen, I'm the kind of guy that can go after Moby Dick in a small fishing boat and take my own tartar sauce. Okay? I'm just a pretty, some of y'all I have to figure that one out, but I'm a pretty positive guy. I try to see the bright side of everything. If I can find something good out of it, that's kind of me. But man, whenever the doctor told her, it was just like the devil tried to, it's like somebody sticks their fist in your stomach and doesn't take it out. And so I just kept on going. She would look at me every couple of days. She'd say, babe, do you still feel the same way? I said, yep, I still feel it, because my spirit had rested. I am telling some people in this place today, before this service is over, your spirit is going to be at rest. I hope y'all are still with me here. I promise I'm not going to be another hour or two. And so the doctor goes in and we take her in for surgery. People said, couldn't God heal her? God did heal her. You don't understand. Normally they say that they said when we found it, they said it was back against the chest wall. And it was so hidden so well that it was a miracle they found it. And they said, normally if it's in the right side, it's going to be in the left side. And they said, if that's the case, then it's also going to be in your lymph nodes. And they go through the whole ordeal. But you know what I said? Let's let the doctors do what doctors do. Let them practice. And let's let God be God. I'm telling somebody this for a reason today. Let the doctors do whatever the doctors want to do, but let's let God be God. And the word of the Lord was, everything is going to be okay. I've got it all under control. They went in and did surgery. They went in to remove a small piece, and they came back out, and the doctor said, I got clean edges. I didn't know what that meant. And great, great doc. I got a Coke. He said, we got clean edges. Everything was fine. That meant they got all of it. So we had the follow-up. We had the follow-up appointment. I think it was 10 days later. And the doctor looked at my wife and he said, Miss Marshall, he said, we got all of it. He said, but there's a fly in the ointment. And I thought, wow, there's a sermon right there. I said, man, when you feel like there's a fly in the ointment, I thought, man, I'll preach that one. Woo, hallelujah. I can even see a graphic on that one. But anyway, so he said, there's a fly in the ointment. And when he said that, it was like the devil said, I'm going to hit you again. He said, the doctor said, now, first of all, we've never claimed that she had cancer. The doctors, that's what they said. But God said, everything is going to be okay. That's just our mentality. That's just the way that we think. I'm not going to take ownership of something. When I take ownership of it, that means it belongs to me. And I accept I'm not going to take ownership of it. Okay. Anyway, the doctor said, it's a triple negative. We don't know what causes it. It's not hormone fed. It goes through all of these things. And the devil, it's like the devil smacked her another good time. And I'm just keep thinking, God, you said everything was going to be okay. It has now been 3 years. 3 years. She just went in for another appointment. Everything is fine. She's cancer free. There's nothing going on. The word of the Lord remains the same. But now we look back at that time when we're going through something. We look back at that time and I say, God, you're okay. God is everything. God, everything is going good. Everything is going fine. God, I remember the day that it seemed like my world was about to fall apart. But the Lord showed up in the middle of my truck as I'm driving down the road. And he said, everything is going to be okay. I've come to tell Moss Bluff that everything is going to be okay. God is in control. Come on, the devil may hit you with everything that's going on. But you have to keep saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Come on. Right now it may seem like it's trying to kill you, but it's going to feed you if you give it some time. Let the Lord do the work, and God is going to be exalted. You don't know what else to do. I keep praising him. We're in the mall in Houston. We were at the Woodlands Mall, and we got a phone call from the doctor, and my wife began to cry. And we walked inside, and she said, "We forgot to do something." I'm thinking, what did I forget? What's happened? She said, "We should have grabbed." I should have grabbed your hand and started dancing in the middle of the hall. I said, "That's okay. Just start dancing. It's okay. Everything is fine. Just do what you know how to do, and that's keep praising Him in the middle of your darkest night. Just keep praising Him. Keep worshiping Him. Come on, don't let the devil have control of your mind. Come on, God, guard their hearts and their minds of every individual in this place. Let there be a holy anointing that settles on every person in this building. Hallelujah. God, I'm asking you to do that right now. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to some people. Don't worry about what the doctors say. Don't worry about what somebody else says. Don't worry about Job's comforters, because the Lord is going to show up right on time. My grandmother's dying words back in 1976 in Houston, Texas. Her last words, the last words that left her mouth was, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him still." There's a difference between faith and trust. Faith, everybody is given a measure of faith, but not everybody trusts him. Faith, I can have faith, can move mountains. Faith can, but do I trust him to do the way that he wants it to happen? Okay, I'm on the downhill swing. If you'll come give me some dinner music or something, come little soothing music, David and the harp players. I'm telling you, I feel strongly in the Holy Ghost that God is fixing to touch minds all across this building. Brother, how are you doing over there in the burgundy shirt? Just sitting there shaking your head. Last time I was here, I think you were fixing to go in for surgery, weren't you? I'm telling you, it's letting your spirit settle. What is your level of expectation? What is your level of expectation? What do you want out of this service? If you wanted to walk in and hear great singing and some preacher hollering and sweating and all that kind of stuff, that's what you got. You can go ahead and go on home now. But if you really want a transformation in your spirit, I believe that God is getting ready to do it. There's three people in particular that the Lord has spoken to me about, and God is fixing to do what he said he would do. Listen, I got a whole lot I can say, but right now I'm just waiting for the confirmation from the Holy Ghost that some people want to move beyond our own mental anguish. Brother, when somebody tells you, somebody looks at you and said, "You got cancer," or they talk to you on the phone, "You got cancer," it's pretty devastating. But I remember driving down the road. I'm sobbing. I'm driving in a big old F-250 King Ranch. I'm driving, and people see this big old boy and riding in this big old truck with big old tears streaming down his face. But I wasn't worried about what other people thought about me at that moment. I was worried about one thing. There was a conversation I was having with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And guess what? He showed up in the middle of my situation. He showed up in the middle of my... I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me out of his holy hills. "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which make heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." I love this next verse. "The Lord is thy keeper. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Sister in the white dress with the flowers. Yes, ma'am. Would you stand? This couple over here, would you stand? Both of y'all, would you stand? There's two of the three that the Lord has been dealing with me about. The devil, Angela, the devil has done everything he can. And I don't normally do this. I normally walk up to somebody. The devil has done everything he can to destroy your mind. He has taken things from you. He has tried to destroy you. But you've just kept plugging your way through. If you'll step out in the aisle as you begin to walk, there's going to be a freedom that comes to your mind and to your spirit right now. Hallelujah. We're walking into it right now by the power of the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, right now, healing from the top. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Jesus, right now, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The name of Jesus. Come on, as you begin to walk to the front, lift your hands to heaven. I see miracle fixing to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor, here's what I see. Now, I could be crazy and I could be crazy. But I tell you the same exact thing that I feel. Look at me for just a moment. I see a house. And God's fixing to make a way. God's fixing to change something in your situation. The last time I felt this, I was in, one of the last times I was in San Antonio. Actually, I was in Seguin. And I walked over to a couple. And I said, don't worry about the properties. Don't worry about the house. You're not going to lose it. Everything is going to be okay. I'm just me. They fell to their knees. They come up to me after church and they said, Brother Marshall, we have a bunch of properties that we own down on the coast for the oil workers. They said, with everything, they said, we're afraid we're going to lose it. They called me about 6-7 months later. They said, we've sold everything. We didn't lose anything. They said, thank you for giving us a word from heaven. Now, I'm telling you this right now, that God's fixing to change something for you. God's going to take care of it. He's going to turn it around. Okay, you believe that? You believe? Now, I could be crazy. I'm just telling you what I feel in my spirit. Right now, lift your hands to heaven. God's going to take everything that the devil means for harm, and God's going to turn it around for his glory. But there is something that is required out of you. There's another step that God is requiring out of you right now by the power of the name of Jesus. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, right now. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Come on, I need a couple of men that'll come pray. I need a couple of men that'll come lay your hands upon my brother right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, everybody, would you stand in this building? Hallelujah, hallelujah. As they begin to sing, come on. If you need the Holy Ghost, if you've never had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I invite you to come today. Come on, God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. The King always has another move. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God is willing to fill you with His Spirit today. I'm inviting everybody to come and join me down here at the front now. Come on, would you join me down here? Hallelujah. Come on, let's flood these altars right now. Yo soy